This call is being recorded.
Today, rolling out is speaking with Fulton County Commissioner, Head of Commission, Dr. John Eaves, who was also a mayoral candidate for the City of Atlanta. Dr. Eaves, the recent fire and collapse of a section of the I-85 highway is playing havoc on Atlanta commuters. The fire was allegedly started by a homeless man named Basil Ellaby, who has been accused of smoking crack. Now the issue of being homeless in Atlanta is back in the news and it can't be ignored. Atlanta has long been accused of ignoring its homeless population, especially homeless men. It has been estimated that there are at least 10,000 homeless on a given night. More than 40% of those are women and children. When you hear these types of statistics, what goes through your mind?
Well, those stats are disconcerting. It's inexcusable. I firmly believe that the homeless situation in Atlanta is resolvable. It can be resolved with political will and collaboration. So they're dire statistics, but we can do much better and we will do much better.
In your role as head of the Fulton County Commission chairman, what have you done to address the problem in your area of influence?
So a couple of things. Number one, we do receive housing, urban development dollars that we use to support homeless shelters on the outer and the northern and the southern part of our counties. Federal dollars can't be spent in the same jurisdiction. So Atlanta gets HUD dollars and Fulton County gets HUD dollars. We use our HUD dollars to support homelessness in North Fulton and South Fulton. We have about 500, believe it or not, who are being dealt with in those parts of the county. Now, separate and beyond the HUD dollars, we do provide grants to several homeless shelters within the city of Atlanta. We have a community service program that we provide nonprofits such as Covenant House, City of Refuge. They receive grant funding from us to address the homeless population within the city of Atlanta.
Now, I'd like to ask you, you are a graduate of Morehouse College and you did take part in a Peace Corps. How did the Peace Corps affect you in regards to compassion and leadership?
Let me tell you, Mo, both two important aspects of my life. Morehouse really was the incubator of sorts where I learned the value of service and discovered how it was important for me as a young leader to roll my sleeves up and get involved in our communities. And so that passion was started. It began, it was cultivated at Morehouse College, hearing the stories of great men such as Martin Luther King, Julian Bond, et cetera, who did great things to serve our communities. Peace Corps provided me a forum from an international perspective how in any given year, thousands of Americans would go overseas to get involved in what's called community development, education, healthcare, entrepreneurship generation. And so there was an international perspective, and frankly, through my days at Peace Corps, I had an aha moment. Yes, there's need abroad, overseas, but there's also a great need at home. And that was sort of the inspiration to come back or to be involved locally as an elected official.
One of the things as mayor of Atlanta, if you're successful in your campaign, will be the role of having healthy development and managing human displacement at the same time in the community. How are you going to approach this if you are mayor?
Well, first of all, you can set tone at the top. You can set an expectation as a part of your talking points, which you convey through speeches and conversations. But it's more than, it's not just that. It's not just the talk, it's the walk. You know, you can support existing organizations. You can collaborate with others. You know, Atlanta is certainly number one in a lot of important areas, whether it's the airport, the higher education community, the corporate structure, but we also are number one in bad ways, such as HIV, AIDS transmission, homelessness, poverty. We certainly have our challenges, but tone at the top is important. Articulating what the priorities are in terms of better service delivery, human service delivery, being compassionate, and making sure that this is a healthy city. A healthy city is not just the physical aspect, but it's also the mental aspect. And going back to your first question about homelessness, a high number of people who are homeless have some degree of mental illness. And we have nonprofit organizations, private organizations that cater to the mentally ill. We need to collaborate. We need to support. We need to have a more comprehensive strategy to deal with the mentally ill, because the more successful we are with that population, they become productive, they become integrated, and we see less of the visible evidence of people who are homeless and people who have mental challenges in our society.
People in Atlanta are furious that Basil Ellaby, mostly because of his image as a mentally ill crack-smoking miscreant. Is this a dangerous rush to judgment, and should we feel compassion for him?
First of all, within our society, there is people are presumed innocent until proven guilty. And then not only that, if a person is mentally incompetent, they do not have to be tried. And so there's a degree of compassion that needs to be provided to anybody in our society. I think that this is, to me, an opportunity for us to address some of the challenges we have in terms of mobility through our region, driving or riding MARTA. So that's the first opportunity. The second opportunity is for us to just face up to the fact that we have a homeless challenge here. But as I pointed out earlier, it's resolvable. I've been to other cities around the country where they've done a much more effective job through collaborations. I've been to Salt Lake City. I've been to Seattle. Both of those cities have done a great job in terms of collaboration, in terms of addressing mental illness in a more creative and innovative way. We can do it here. I certainly have the political desire. I just need to have the right person at the top to articulate how we can do it in a more innovative and effective manner.
Sleeping within underpasses in the city of Atlanta is often the only shelter a person can find for the night. These past few days, Atlanta has suffered some very serious thunderstorms and rain. This issue now with the bridge collapse and the homeless situation is going to cost Atlanta millions. I'd like to ask you, are you in favor of closing the Peachtree and Pine Street shelter in Atlanta?
So let me deal with the question in a broader way than I'm going to be specific to Peachtree and Pine. So according to our stats here at Fulton County, there are about 4,000 people in Atlanta who are homeless. And of that 4,000, roughly 3,200 are in what's considered a transitional housing place or an emergency housing place. And then the remaining 800 are unsheltered, meaning they are in under underpasses and other places where they're not in any sort of structured situation. So there is certainly an unaddressed need in terms of, according to our stats, about 800 people who are just not anywhere where there's a structured program, support, supervision, et cetera. They're just out there drifting from place to place, or they're in under an underpass. Having said all of that, the largest homeless shelter is Peachtree and Pine. I'm one of the few elected officials who has done a tour of that facility. I've been there three times. I've been there twice during the day. I've been there once at night. I don't think it's the most effective way to deal with homelessness. Homelessness should have a goal of ultimately putting people in permanent housing. It's a warehouse. you know, I think the leadership there is trying the best that they can, but I think that there are better and more effective ways to deal with the homeless population. I think the most effective way is to have smaller units of people who are homeless, provide them with necessary support, whether it's mental health, substance abuse, or job readiness, life planning. You need to have a certain degree of security presence, and you certainly need to separate men from women and children. There is some degree of separation at Peachtree and Pine of women and children versus the male population, but it's certainly not a place where I would want my children or my mother to be, because it's just not the most optimal place. So my long response to your question is, it does, Peachtree and Pine does provide a place for people to be at night, but it's not, there are better models out there that are more smaller units, better supervised, a wraparound services that are provided to support the homeless individual with the goal of putting that individual in permanent housing.
On the streets of Atlanta, the face of the homeless, as you drive through certain neighborhoods, for example, around the Carter Center, you're seeing more young, white, and homeless. And some of this is being tied to the rise of heroin addiction in the city.
Yes.
What role does addiction play in equalizing the plight of the homeless? And what I mean is there a difference between being a white addict and a black junkie?
There's no difference in terms of its impact on the individual. So whoever shoots the substance into their arm or wherever part of their body, they're going to have the same type of reaction. And so it's an equalizer in terms of its impact. You're right, Mo. The opioid, which is pain medication pills, the heroin addiction craze or phase that we're going through right now is having a tremendous impact, not only locally, but of course, many rural parts of the country. And many people who are addicted lose jobs and become mentally challenged and end up being homeless. It is a problem. I will say Fulton County is doing some things to try to address this issue. We had a task force. I partnered with the district attorney 2 or 3 years ago to start a task force to try to get agencies to work together to provide treatment. The Fulton County Board of Commissioners authorized this anti-overdose drug. I think it's called naloxone, N-O-X-O-L-E. I can't even spell it, but I think it's called Pranoxline. That drug, if administered to a person who has an overdose, can reverse the overdose. So first responders, people in fire trucks, and in some cases ambulances, they have that drug. And so if there's a call that a person has overdosed, they can get there within a certain period of time. They can reverse the effects. So we're doing some things, but in terms of this homeless impact, again, I'm going to say what I said before. We've got to deal with it in a more comprehensive way. There is a role that the city and the county can play to address this issue. We can also address it in a collaborative way with DeKalb County and the other counties around the metropolitan Atlanta area. It is resolvable. We can do it. You just have to have the political will.
There are so many things going on within the city of Atlanta as we approach the election next year for the mayor of Atlanta. What would you like to say in closing to our readers?
Well, Atlanta is a wonderful city. I think we are certainly on the cusp of being a great city. We have some wonderful assets, some of which I mentioned early in the podcast. But we also have challenges. I certainly have the desire and the will and the track record to address these challenges. You know, we didn't talk about transportation, MARTA expansion. That certainly is something that needs to be dealt with. We need to deal with public safety. But the human element that I think you're asking or addressing through your podcast in terms of the homeless community, those who are addicted. The human aspect of our city needs to be dealt with. We're not a sick city, S-I-C-K city. We're not a sick city, but we are a city that its soul needs to be massaged, and we need to deal with the human aspect of our citizens. So whether it's people who are homeless, whether it's people who are being human trafficked in our communities, whether it's people who are inflicted with, diseases, you know, we need to deal with these in a more effective way in terms of collaborating with our faith-based community, our nonprofit community, and the wonderful health institutions that are here, the CDC, and even the work that the Carter Center does. We can work in a more collaborative way that I think can address the human aspect, the human element of our city. And once we deal with that, as well as some of these infrastructure issues, we can truly be a great city.